Today Shir Masechet Yevamos Daf Kuf Tezvav. We will begin on Daf Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Beis on the bottom line. In our previous Shir, we had learned that under certain circumstances, a woman is believed to say her husband died, and those are the circumstances where the Shalom Ba'olam, there's peace in the world, the Shalom Beinayim Beinah, there's peace between the husband and the wife, and therefore, given all of those circumstances, if she says that her husband passed away, we believe her when she says so. The Gemara begins today's Shir. The only reason we know that there's war in the world is because she told us so. Do we say Malol Shaker? If she wanted a lie, she didn't have to tell us there was war in the world. And the Bay Amra, she could have said, because we don't know differently, that Shalom Ba'olam, that this, she could have said there's peace in the world. And if she would have said there's peace in the world, and there's peace between her and her husband, she would be believed when she reports that he's no longer alive. Since, as we learned in our previous year, the issue here is not that we are concerned that the person is, that this woman is saying something which is not true. The concern in our Gemara is that the woman, because of these circumstances, is going to be inaccurate in what she reports. And if the concern here is for inaccuracy, the fact that she didn't have to report that there's a war in the world doesn't help us, and Baruch Eskasei, and thou she cannot believe. So many Rishonim asked the question. The concept of Malo L'Shaker is always when somebody made a claim, it's a migui. They made a claim. And migui, a Malo L'Shaker teaches us that if they wanted to say something, they wanted to say a better claim, they could have said a better claim. The fact that they didn't say this claim is a proof that what they're saying is true. Here the concern is not that the person is saying something untrue. We're not worried that this woman, throughout our shiurim, the concern has not been that this woman is a liar. The concern is that this woman, because it was such a situation, and she thought her husband was dead, and just based on her thinking that her husband is dead, that's how she came to report what she reported. If that's the case, why should she believe because she has a migui? And in fact, because of this question, the Rashba and the Ritva explains that the Gemara doesn't mean to say is that this is the classical example of a migui. This is clearly not the example of a migui. The Gemara is just using the terminology migui in a borrowed form. What the Gemara means to say is, just like sometimes we see throughout Halacha, that there are circumstances that are proving that what's being said is true, here too, when she says that there was war in the world, even though she didn't have to say so, that is a proof that she's saying that it's true. Tysus answers this question that when there's no war in the world, she is a person that realizes that she better be careful in what she says. In other words, what Tysus means to say is that when there's war in the world, unfortunately, it's all too common that people are going to pass away during a war. And since it's all too common that people pass away in wars, when she says that my husband died, we're not necessarily going to believe her. Here, when the people don't know there's a war in the world, she's much more careful to say the truth. And therefore, that should be a proof that she's saying the truth. So Rashi asks that this question could be answered from what it said at the end of our Mishnah. The Mishnah said that if there's peace in the world, she's believed. Now, we're not referring there to a case where he died at home. Because if he died at home, then it's obvious she's believed. The fact that there's war in the world doesn't have any impact on a person that died at home. So it must be that the sefer the Mishnah is talking about, that as long as there's peace in the world, she's believed. And if we don't know differently, why is she not to be believed in our Mishnah? So Rashi answers, our Mishnah is not talking about a case where she said he died on his bed. In a case where she comes and reports that her husband died in a normal fashion, even if there's war in the world, we would believe her. Here we're referring, says Rashi, to a situation, again, where she didn't express if where he died. Did he die on his bed or did he die in war? And because she didn't express if he died in his bed or he died in war, we now have a question, should we believe her or should we not believe her? And that's the discussion of the Gemara. Toshma, so says the Gemara, if a woman comes and says, Ishinu alay nabayis, the house got full of smoke. Ishinu alay ma'aro, or we were in a cave and there was fire and smoke in the cave. V'humes, and my husband died, v'anin etzalti, and I was saved, ain't in a menace. She should not be believed when she says that he died. Now, says the Gemara, we only know about this fire because of her. If she wouldn't have reported a fire, we would have never known. And still, we don't believe her when she says he died. Answers the Gemara, Shani Hassam, the reason why we don't believe her under those circumstances, that mean in law, because we say to her, there was a fire, but Baruch Shem, you were able to get out of the fire. So just like a nace happened to you, and you were able to get out of the fire, he also, Baruch Hashem, experienced the nace. And that's why we can't believe her. The Bach explains that by using, the reason the Brisa uses the words Ishinu, Aloshin Rabim, because it has to be that we were both there together, that he and her were in the home when it was on fire. Because if they weren't together, then certainly she would not be able to testify exactly what happened to her husband. Only because she's saying, we were there together and I saw him die, maybe the halacha is we should believe her, teaches us the Gemara that no, because we say to her that just like you were saved from the fire, so too was he saved in the fire. So the Akronim point out that the reason why this is not similar to the... So the Gemara says, that's why this is not similar to the case where she says there was a war in the war that he died. Why? Because in the case where she reports to us that there was a war in the world, but my husband died, the reason she's not believed, explained Achroinim, is because she says that I saw him dead. Now the question is, do we believe her or do we not believe her when she says, I saw him no longer alive? But she is clearly indicating that I saw him dead. In the case of the fire in the house, she says there was a fire that nobody could have survived. But she doesn't say with definitiveness that I saw my husband dead in the fire. And that's why we could understand the difference between the two cases. In the case of the fire, it's not something that she actually saw. Since it's not something that she actually saw, we can't believe her. In this case, she's saying something, in the case of the war, she's actually saying something that she claims she actually saw, and that's why the two cases aren't the same. Toshma, says the Gemara, different raya. Nofalenu Ovde Kechavim. If she reports that we were attacked by Ovde Kechavim, Nofalenu Listen, we were attacked by bandits, Humeis, and my husband passed away, the Nitzalti, and I was saved, Namenis. So we see, why is she in a menace? Because the only reason we know that this happened is because she says so. And therefore, when she says that since we can believe her, when she says something, we believe her. So the same thing should be by the war. Answers the Gemara, Hasum Kud Rav Idi. The Rav Idi Isha Klei Zayin Alel. So the way most Rishonim explain Klei Zayin Alel, Rashi explains that the Akum treat women different than men. The men, what they do is, they just kill them. The women, they don't kill. The women, they have relations with. And therefore, she is believed when she said, my husband wasn't able to survive, and I was able to survive. Another pshat that Tosfos suggests, this is all Masechet Avodah Zarah, is that Akum are more likely to have rachmanis on women than on men. And since they're more likely to have more rachmanis on women than on men, that's why women survive and men don't. What would be the nafkamina between these two pshatim, says the Beis Shmuel, in a case where it's an older woman who's not able to have bia anymore? If the reason that they have rachmanis on her is because she is going to be a person that they're going to have relations with, this woman is no longer in the status of people having relations with her. If the thing is that they have rachmanis on women more than men, so maybe on the contrary, an older woman, they'll even have more rachmanis. So the Ritva and the Miri ask, why is this different than the previous case? In the previous case where there's a fire, so we say to her, just like Baruch Hashem, you were saved, so too your husband was saved. Why don't we say the same over here, that just like you were saved, he was saved? So Gemara says, no, it's not the same, because there, a fire, men and women are all equal in. Not in this case of attack, men and women are not in the same category. Says the Gemara, who gavra? The Bishlule Halula, terrible tragedy, at the end of the wedding of this couple, Isli Nura Beginini, there was a fire that broke out in the wedding hall. Amle Devisa, his new kala said to him, his new kala announced, Hazu Gavroi, Hazu Gavroi, look at my husband, he's being burnt. Asa Chaza Harufa Gari Deshadi. And when they came afterwards to examine what was going on, they found a person that was completely burnt, Upisses the Yad of the Shadja. And there was also another hand that was right on the side of that body. So Rav Chiba Avin Lameima, Haino Shino Lambayis, Haino Shino Lamara, that this is the similar case, where just like when she reported a moment ago in our shir that there was a fire, we say to her, just like you were Baruch Hashem saved, so too your husband was saved. Here too, just like you were able to get out of the wedding hall, your husband was able to get out of the wedding hall. Amar Rava, to which Rava says, me dummy. The two situations are not comparable. There, she wasn't able to point to a corpse. Here, she's still there. It's not like she ran away, and we said previously that just like she was able to escape, her husband was able to escape. Void, gava, charucha deshadi. We see that there's a person, a burnt person, in front of us. Upissa the yada deshadja, and there's a hand of another person who came to save him, laying next to him. So that's why maybe here she should believe. Says the Gemara of Chibar Oven that says that she not believe, because we could say the gavra charucha deshadja, the person who we see who's completely burnt, unfortunately not alive. There was somebody who came to try to save this chassan, nura, and he was burnt by the fire. And this hand that we find alongside the body of this dead person, nura itla, and he, this is talking that the chassan's hand got burnt in the fire to the degree that he even got, unfortunately, detached. And now he became a balmum. He's missing a hand. Or machmes kisufa, and because he was so terribly embarrassed, he's a new chassan, and he already lost his hand. What he did was, ozov arak alma, he ran away. And that's why it's not definitive, says Rav Chiya Bar Oven, that the dead body is the body of the person who's the chassan, and we can't just say that that's, obviously we're referring here to a case where the body, the burnt body, is burnt beyond recognition. And because the body is burnt beyond recognition, we can't determine who's the person that died. So now ask the Gemara, there was a Muhammad in the world, and one aide came to say that somebody's husband died. What is the halacha? The wife, we learned in our previous year extensively, is not going to believe. And the reason we explained in our previous year that the wife is not believed is because the dummy, she says what she's saying is not necessarily the case. What is going to be the case, however, with Ein Echad? So the Rashba and the Ritva and the Muki Yosef and the Meiri all explained that the Gemara is saying that we're talking here about a case where he says that he died and I buried him. And the question here is, why do we normally believe in Ein Echad? By reporting that somebody's dead. Is it because that an Ein Echad is a special din, that even though throughout Halacha we normally don't accept the testimony of an Ein Echad, here we will accept the testimony of an Ein Echad? If that's the case, so here we should believe it. Or is the case because it's coupled with a concept that we learned at the beginning of Perek Isha Rabbah? And that is the concept of Isha Daiko Mintzaba. A woman will not report. A woman will not get remarried unless she's makes sure that the husband that is reported to be no longer alive is indeed no longer alive. But here, since it was a time of Melchama, and the eighth says that he's no longer alive, so she is sure. It's again a situation of the dummy. She's sure that what he said is true, and she won't do the proper investigation to really make sure that he's no longer alive. Rashi explains that we're referring here to a situation where this Eid Echad said that he died, but he didn't say kvartiv. He didn't say that I saw him buried. And the issue, according to Rashi, is that certainly we believe the Eid Echad. This is the halacha, that if an Eid Echad says that a husband is no longer alive, the halacha is that this is a situation where we believe in Eid Echad. But when do we believe in Eid Echad, asked the Gemara, is the Gemara's question. Maybe only when he's able to say so with absolute certainty, when he says meis ukvartiv. Here, since he only said meis, but he didn't say kvartiv, that's why we wouldn't believe him. Tosfos explains, the question is that just like when the woman, we don't believe. Why don't we believe the woman? Because as we've said in our previous year, because by the woman we say, but the dummy, that what she's saying is not for sure, because since there's a war in the world, that's why she's saying what she's saying. But it isn't because necessarily that is the case. Here too, what the Gemara means to say is, just like we have the concern of the dummy by a woman, by the wife, maybe we have the same concern of the dummy that what he's saying is not really accurate by the aid as well. So again, Ibailu, Eid Echad Mechama. There was a situation where there's an Eid Echad who reported that the husband died in a war. Mahu, will we believe him or not? We believe in Eid Echad in these circumstances because if the husband shows up, it will be obvious that he lied, and therefore, Lai Meshaker, we can be confident that what he's saying is true. Hachnami Lai Meshaker, and that's why we could believe him. And we will not assume that he's saying with the dummy, he's saying something which is not absolutely accurate. A double time that Echad Meshum, the he goofa daika mincaba. Vacha, the Zimna de Sanyale. She may not like her husband, and therefore she's happy to accept the testimony that her husband died. And Loi Medaikis, and she won't be careful, Loi Daika Mitzvah, she won't be careful to make sure that what is being reported is 100% accurate. To Amar Rabbi Bachama Toshma, Amar Bekiva, Shirati Lahador, when I went to Nador, Labas Hashanah, I went to Nador to be Ma'abed Hashanah. So many Rishonim asked the question that the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin says that the only place we're supposed to do Ibur Shana is in Yehuda, and that's Yisrael and Yehuda. As the Pasuk says, the Gemara, this is a Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Yud Aleph on the base, L'shichnoi Tidrisha U'basu Shama. And Chazal teaches us, Kol Drisha Shatadoirish L'yei El B'shchena Shalmakayim. Anytime you want to determine if we should make it to a leap year, it should be in the place where Kodesh Baruch Hu Shechina is. That's Yerushalayim, which is in Yehuda. So how could Rabbi Akiva done a Bishana in Ador, which is Chutz Laretz? So Taisa says that halacha, that Ibishana is done exclusively in Yehuda, is only when there are Gedolei Yisrael in Yehuda. But if there's no one equal in stature in Eretz Yisrael to somebody in Chutz Laretz, then the halach is that Ibishan is done in Chutz Laretz. Rabbi Kiva was the Tana of the greatest stature at that time, and that's why the Ibishan was done in Chutz Laretz. The Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman in the Kibbutz Shurim quotes Rabbi Haigoin. He says that when is there a halacha that the Ibishan has to be done in Eretz Yisrael? That's the pasuk says the Atem, and we learn from Atem afil shogigim, Atem afil mezidim. That when the Ibur Shana is done under unusual circumstances, so the halach is that if it's a situation of unusual circumstances, the Ibur Shana must be done in Eretz Yisrael. But when it's done under usual, regular circumstances, nothing extraordinary, then he says the halacha is that it can be done even in Chutz Laretz. And that was the situation here, that it was usual circumstances, and that's why he says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Kiva, Shirati Lado Laba Shana, Matzasi Nechemi Ish Beis Dali. I found Nechemi Ish Dali, Vamali, and Nechemi said to me, Shemati Shem Ish Sin Ish Ish Beretz Yisrael, Al Pi Erechad. I heard that they said that we don't allow a woman to get married based on the testimony of one aid, we need two aidim. And nobody argues, El Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba. The only one that disagrees with this halacha was Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba. The Namti Loi, Kain Advarim. And I said to him, you're correct. Vamali, Emla Mishmi, and he said, Rabbi Kiva, Nechemiah said to me, tell the Chacham Mishmi in my name, Atem Yideim Shendina Zim Mishibesh Begaisis. You know that this country is under constant attack. The Kach Mekublani Mermeglila Azokin Shemesina Sheishal Pi Erechad. Says the Gemara, My Medina Mishudesis Begaisis. What does that mean? That this country is constantly being attacked. Laugh. Sha'afagav the Medina Zum Mishubeshis. That even though the country is under constant attack, Kach Mekublani, I heard from Rabbi Gamliel Azokin, Shemesina Pi Erechad, that you can marry off a woman based on the testimony of one Erechad. Alma, Erechad, Mehemen. So we see from here the question that the Gemara posed, is an Eid Echad Nemon to say that a woman's husband died in a time of war? From here we clearly see that he is. Amar Rava says the Gemara, Ihachi Maishta Medina Zu. Why did he say that this country is under attack? Why do you single out this country? If the point is that we believe in Erechod, so he should have said, even in a place where there's war, any place where there's war, if an Erechod comes and said that the husband died, that's what he should have reported is we believe him. El Amar Rava, says Rava Hachkama. This is what Nechemiah meant to say. You know that this country is completely under attack. And therefore, even though I want to come myself to report what Rav Gamliel said to Chachamim, it is impossible under these current circumstances for me to leave my home or Maisikamei Rabbanan and come to the Rabbanan. And therefore, what he's saying was, Kach Mekublani mi Rav Gamliel, Mesin Isha Pi Erechad. So what he was saying is that we believe in Erechad. But it doesn't mean that we believe in Ein Echad in a time of war. He's saying the time of war is a reason why he personally cannot come to offer the report. But is an Ein Echad Nemon in a time of a war? That isn't what he discussed. And we don't know if we're going to believe in Ein Echad even in a time of a war. Toshma, Maisa, B'shnei Talmid Chachamim, Sheboim Abba Yosef and Samoa B'sfina. The two Talmid Chachamim traveling with Abba Yosef and Samoa on a boat, the Tova, and the boat sank. The Sirim Rebbe Nishaseim Apinoshim, based on the testimony of women who said that the husband died, based on that testimony, they allowed the women, their wives, to get remarried. And Taisa says that obviously they were not referring to a situation where they actually saw the bodies. Now, and we still believe them. Ask the Gemara, Vaha. By both of a war and by a boat sinking, we're dealing with a situation of Bididami. What is the concept of Bididami? When something seems to be the case, people aren't necessarily making sure to be 100% accurate. So somebody who sees a boat sinks is assuming that certainly this husband must have died. Because how could he have survived that? Which is similar to what we've been discussing is the case by a war. That again, the person who's reporting that the man died is saying he certainly could not have survived the war. Moreover, says the Gemara, Nashim afilu meyeh ke'erech adami. The halacha is that women are not kosher to be edus. The kosher to be edus, similar to eid echad, just like under certain circumstances an eid echad is nemen, here also a woman are nemen. And yet we see, k'tani, hissi, that they did marry off the women, they did let the women get married. So we see that eid echad, in a time of melchama, is believed. The Tisbara asked the Gemara, how can we say that we trusted them? This is a situation where they drowned at sea, at an ocean. And the halacha is that if somebody is assumed to have drowned in a place of Mayim She'en L'Soif, where water where we can't see, it's such a large expanse of water, Ishtei Asura. Even if two Edom say that he sank, because we have to be concerned that maybe the husband, the person that we're saying testimony on, was able to come out of the water. And we didn't see him go out of the water because it's such a wide, large area that we can't see what's going on. Ella hechidami, what is the case? Damri afkinu kamon. That they're saying, not only did they say that they drowned, and they saw how they were extracted from the water, v'chazinu la'altar. And not only did they see how these men, these husbands were extracted, they were extracted immediately. Because as the Rishonim explain, that the body that drowns starts to change once it's in the water. So if they weren't extracted immediately, then we would be concerned that the bodies that we see are not those bodies. The Kamri Simonim. And they also brought Simonim, that this was indeed the person that died. So says the Gemara, that now it turns out that the Namonis is not, that we're not just relying on their testimony. Because as we're learning, in a time of a Melchama, or in a situation of a ship that's drowning, which we just explained, is similar to a time of Melchama, we can't believe in Eid Echad. Here what we're relying on is the Simonim. And because we have Simonim, we rely on them. So, of course, the Rishonim point out, Simonim alone is not going to be enough either. When we have a combination of Simonim and this testimony, that's why we're believing. Ella Simonim. So because we have this combination, that's why we believe. But could well be, if we wouldn't have that, those combination, we wouldn't just believe in Eid Echad in a time of a ship drowning, which is just like not believing them in a time of Melchama. Says the Gemara, Hahu gavad afkit shim shim yigav chavrei. There was a person who left sesame that by somebody's home. So Tosfos points out that there were Edom that saw him leave the sesame. If there was no Edom that said that saw him leave the testimony, the discussion that we're going to have in the Gemara would not be relevant. So says the Gemara, Hu gavro dafke tshushmi gavi chavrei. Amalei havli shushmi. So the person who left the sesame comes and says to the person by whom he left the sesame, give me back my sesame. Amalei, so he says, Shokotena, you came already and took him back. Says the Gemara, V'kain havyan, there were this amount of sesame, V'chamita remanyan, and they're still in barrels in your home. Amalei, the dog Shokotena, what you have, your sesame that you left by me is gone. Hanach, and Hani, in these sesame that you have here are chunenenu, a different sesame that don't belong to you, and they only belong to me. So Rashi explains what happened here was, the person who left the sesame is claiming that the sesame that I left by you is my sesame is still by you, and you'll go and look in your warehouse, you'll see that there are exactly that amount of sesame, that amount of barrels. So the Rashba says, from Rashi it seems, that we would have to If the person who left the sesame is making this claim, we have a right to demand of the person by whom the sesame was left, by the nifkid, to let us into his warehouse to be able to do that type of an investigation. But most Rishonim disagree, and they say that one does not have a right to make that demand. Here we're talking about a situation where we were able to determine whether because the nifkid allowed us in, or maybe because we have independent knowledge that that's what's going on. But to demand that the nifkad should have to let us in to make that investigation, the halacha doesn't require it. Says the Ma'amalar Rava. So we see, Sarah Chizda Meimer, says Rav Chizda to say, that isn't this the same as Shnei Tamid Chachamim, that the case that we saw before of the women who came to say Edis, that somebody's husband died, we believe them based on the simonim. V'loyamrinan, and we don't say that the bodies that were found, hanach azul la'ama, v'hanach nechinenenu, we seem to assume that it's the same thing. So why here is it any different? Amle Rava, says Rava Midami. How can you compare the two cases? Hasam, in the case of the two dead bodies, kamri simonim, they said simonim, and there are simonim that every individual has unique simonim to identify this is the person and not another person. Hacha, but here we're talking about sesame seeds. Shumshimi, my simonis lahu. We can't bring the simonim on sesame. Vaf the kamri kach v'kach havyan. Even though they are bringing more simonim just than saying it's sesame, they're using a raya, the fact that they had the exact same amount. Maybe what happened here was that I happened to have the exact same amount of barrels of sesame, similar to what this person has the barrels of sesame. But it's not proof that, why is that a proof that it's, why is that considered a definite proof? Rabbeinu Yoina says that the Gemara in more than one place says the Mida Uminyan, a count or a measure, is not considered a simon. So the question is, in our Gemara, the Gemara is calling it a simon. But the question is, why is this considered a simon? You know, just like I bought a pound of sesame, the other person bought a pound of sesame. Why is this not considered a valid simon? So the Rabbeinu Yoina gives a number of terutzim. One terutz that the Rabbeinu Yoina suggests, it goes back to something that we discussed, that is that indeed, if the simonim here were the standard size of simonim, everybody buys a box of sesame, and the box of sesame, it has in it a pound of sesames, it would not be considered a valid simon. Here we're referring, says Rabbeinu Yoina, to a situation that it was an unusual number. And because it was an unusual number, that's why we could believe it's considered somewhat of a simon. Another Pshat Rabbeinu Yoina says, goes back to the Tosfos that we quoted at the beginning of the Shir, at the beginning of the Sugya. At the beginning of the Sugya, we quoted Tosfos, who says that there were Edom that saw how he left these sesame seeds by the Mafkid, by the Nifkat. Since he left that amount, that's why he's believed. The Cheshuki Chemet brings a very interesting question. He says, there's a gabbai in a shul, Sunday morning, as he opens up the shul and takes out the pushkas from wherever he leaves the pushkas over Shabbos, he opens up the pushka and he sees a $100 bill in it. And he says, wow, somebody made such a generous donation. As he's Baruch Shem, being happy that somebody made this generous donation, someone shows up and says, there was a $100 bill in the pushka. He says, yes, that $100 bill belongs to me. He says, what happened was, Friday evening, as I came to shul, and I checked my packet, and I saw that I had a $100 bill. And I wasn't able to get back home in time to leave the $100 bill and get back to shul. So I decided that what's the best place I could leave this $100 bill over Shabbos? I could leave it in the Pushka. And then Sunday morning, I'll come and get back my $100 bill. So now the Gabbai says, why should I give you the $100 bill? My feeling is that somebody, this is not your $100 bill. You saw somebody put a $100 bill into the Pushka, and now you want to be able to make some sort of a claim that it's yours. So he quotes a Gemara, Masechta Ksubis, that Pehei Amabez. The Gemara says that there was a man that left 7 diamonds in a kerchief in the home of Ramashia. Ramashia passed away, and he never told anybody about these diamonds. So Rav Ami, so now the Din Torah comes, and the person who says that these diamonds are mine claimed these are my diamonds that I just asked Rav Mashiach to wash. The family says, the family of Rav Mashiach says, how do we know that that's true? So the Din Torah was brought to Rav Ami, and Rav Ami said, I knew Rav Mashiach didn't have much, wasn't a wealthy man. So from where would he own 7 diamonds? And furthermore, he is a person that this person is bringing a simon regarding the diamonds, and more, and that's why he should be believed. But said Rav Ami, there's one more point that we have to take into consideration, and that is this a person who was frequently in Ramashia's home? If this person was frequently in Ramashia's home, we cannot believe him. And the reason we can't believe him, it was infrequently Ramashia's home, because he sees what's going on. So we see here, there were 3 conditions. One is that Ramashia wasn't wealthy. Number 2 is that he's giving a simon. And number 3, that he's not frequently in the house. And our Gemara, he has a good pool. People normally don't put $100 bills into the Pushka. Number 2, he's giving a simon that I put it into this Pushka Dafka Friday afternoon. But he's also in the shul all the time. So since this person is in the shul all the time, that should maybe be a proof that he happened to pay attention and seen what happened, but not necessarily his money. So he paskins that this is a situation that normally, this is a situation that should be paskin based on Umdana. What Umdana says is that we look at the circumstances. It's the job of the Rabbonim to determine the circumstances to see what did or didn't happen. But then he says, the halach is, in Choshe Mishpat, that we don't paskin based on Umdana, b'zman hazeh. So we don't paskin based on Umdana just because there are strong circumstantial evidence in one direction, that is inadequate. So we're back to what should be done. So he says that even though we don't paskin based on Umdana, he says, but it's stocker money. And it's the Rav's of the shul's right to determine what should be done with the stocker money. And if this Rav believes that this person who's saying that this money is mine, then the Rav can give him the money. Because if it's indeed his, so we're giving the money to who it belongs to. If it's not his, we're giving it to him because we're allowed, the Rav is allowed, the shul, the Rav is allowed to make the determination what to do with the tzedakah money that's found in the shul. And he's making the determination to give this tzedakah money to this individual. However, this would only work if the tzedakah money was in the pushka that belongs to the shul. So if the tzedakah money is in the pushka that belongs to the shul, the Rav can determine what should be done with tzedakah money that's found in the shul. But if this stocker money is found in a pushka that has a name on it for a certain yeshiva, for a certain organization, so the shul, the rav, the gabbai, don't have the final say because it's not their money, and therefore it would be much more complicated what the halacha should be. Says the Gemara, so back to our question with the sesame seed. Are we concerned that this is that his sesame seeds were taken away, and these are different sesame seeds? For Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, in Masechta Maaseh Sheni, Matzah keli v'kosel of kuf. You find the keli, and on it it says the letter kuf. So we assume that the money in that kuf is for money that was put away for carbon. Mem, we assume, is meiser. Dalid is the mua. It's here a basket of fruit that's mixed up chulin and truma. Tes is tevel, produce from which trumas and meisers were not removed. Tof, truma. It says the Gemara because shabishas is kana. Or yukais and tov tachas truma. Since they weren't supposed to follow halacha, they didn't want to write out the word tof truma. They only wrote the letter tof. Tough, which means truma. But why should, if we're going to say that people take things in and out, why should we say that whatever is found in this basket must be truma? Maybe what was originally truma was taken out, and this is not truma. Yet the Mishnah over there says, if it says tough on the basket, we assume it's truma. So why is this any different? Amalei Ravina Ravashi, Loicha Shina Shem Apinam. We're not concerned that they were taken away. Aim is safer. Rabbi Yosef Mafila Matzachavis, Kaslov Truma, Harei Lichoylon. It says the word Truma, we assume it's Chulun. Shani Aymer, could we say Ishtaked Havli Mola Truma? Indeed, it was full of Truma Opina. So we see that we assume that it was mixed, that it was taken out. El Kula Alma, says the Gemara, clearly Shem Apinam. So what is the machlokes over there? Masover imisa the pinoa. If they would have taken out the truma out of the basket that says the tof in it, nichva have a kofer. They would have certainly erased the letter tof. Vidach, and the other man dama says eme ishtale ishtale. He might have forgotten. Inami lefant cheshavche. He left it to people should stay away from the fruit. People have a tendency to take sometimes something which doesn't belong to them. But as much as they may, chas v'shalom, take something that doesn't belong to them, they will never touch truma. That was the way people were in those times. So now, what the Gemara is saying is, the fruit there is not truma. It says the tuf, and the tuf is an indication that it is truma. It was only there as a deterrent from people not touching it, because they'll never want to touch truma. So I saw a very interesting shaila that is a question that was brought to Rav Chaim Kanievsky Zitzal and Rav Yisrael Yaakov Fisher Zitzal. There's somebody who's transporting matzahs by mail. And since he's transporting matzahs by mail, he's very concerned that the matzahs are fragile. And if they're not going to be treated properly in transport, they'll all be broken. So the question that was posed was, could he write the word glass on that box in which he's sending the matzah? Because it's not glass. It's something that, so that's considered a lie. So the Sefer, Titan Emes LeYaakov, quotes Rabbi Yoshev and quotes Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov Fisher, that just because it says glass on the box, even though there's no glass on the box, doesn't mean that he's lying, because he wrote it because he wants it to be treated fragile. He didn't write explicitly that it's glass. He only wrote that glass. That may cause the person who's transporting it to believe it's glass, but he never said it's glass. And Rav Chaim Kanievsky wrote that Al Gemara is a raya. Because our Gemara just said that this barrel wasn't full of truma, but it still had the letter tuf or truma on it as a deterrent from people taking the fruit and eating it. Rishon Yaakov Fisher says, even though he's paskening like everyone else, that you could write the word glass on the backs of matzahs, he says our Gemara is not a raya. For he explains, in our Gemara, we had a basket. The basket had the letter tof on it because it was once used for truma. So now the question is, are we obligated to take the tof off the basket, or are we not obligated to put the tof off the basket? But in a case, so the Gemara says, you can leave it there and that's going to serve as a deterrent. The case that we're discussing is that the box didn't have anything on it. but there's matzahs that are being put in the box, and I want to make sure that they're being transported properly. And the way I make sure that they're being transported properly is by writing the word glass. Writing the word glass on a box that has matzahs, and that glass is not similar. So even though he holds that a pidin, it may be done, the circumstances are not the same. It says the Gemara, Yitzchak Reish Galusa, Bar Achsei de Rabibi. Yitzchak Reish Galusa was the nephew of Rabibi, have a ozol mikortav l'asfamya. He went from Kortav to Samya, the Shochav, and he passed away in Asamya. Shochav mahosom. So they sent notification from Asamya to Kortav. Yitzchak Reish Galusa, Bar Achsei de Rabibi, have a ozol mikortav l'asfamya. They sent this message that he was traveling from Kortav to Asamya, the Shochav, and he passed away. And now the question is, do we have to be concerned, Chashin L'Trei Yitzchak Aloy? Do we have to be concerned that maybe there's somebody else with the same name or not? So the Rishonim explained, the Rosh explained, most Rishonim explained that he wasn't the Reish Galusa. Because if he was the Reish Galusa, there would not be a question. There's only one Reish Galusa. His name was Reish Galusa. That was part of the name that he had. So do we have to be concerned or not? Abaye Amar Chashinan, Rav Amalek Hashin. Abaye says we don't have to be concerned, and Rav says we do need to be concerned. There are many different variations of this case, and Tosfos and other Rishonim point them out. In a case where we know that two people that have the exact same name, we certainly need to be concerned. In a situation, and there are also people constantly traveling, in a case where we don't know that there are two people with the same name, and there isn't constant travel back and forth, we certainly need not be concerned. But in a case where we don't know that two people with the same name, but there are people constantly traveling back and forth, that, says Tosfos, is the case that we had now, the Machlokes of Abaye and Rava, where Chashinan or Loi Chashinan. So Abaye says, from where do I take that we need to be concerned that there's maybe somebody else with the exact same name? Says the who got to the Ashtaka of Nador? There was a get that was found on the street of Nador. The Ksiv, and in the get it says, Betzat Kalanya Masa, on the side, near the city of Kalanya, and not Ardenloi, but Nador, I Nardeloi, who lives in the city of Nador, Patiris with Tarichis Yasploini Intasi, divorced my wife. The Shoch Avud Shmuel. And Avud Shmuel did not know, can we rely on this get or not? Because do we need to be concerned that there's someone else with the exact same name? So he asked this question, L'kamei der Yehuda Nasiya. Shalchle, so he said, Tivdik Nador Kula. We have to check if there's anyone else with that name. So we see from here that Abaye is correct, that we need to be concerned that there's somebody else with the same name. Rav Amar, how will Rav to defend himself? Im Isa, if says Rav, if you're right, then why are we just checking this place? Yiv the Kalayla Mabayle, they should have to check the entire world. Ella, says the Gemara, B'shukfad Avud Shmuel Hachi. He did not say it, that he didn't want that he should look, that Avud Shmuel should look like he made a mistake. And that's why he said it this way. He passed in the Shaila, even though clearly, if we have no reason to be concerned, says Rava, we don't create concerns.